Welcome to episode 110 of The Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey and hockey fans looking to have some fun along with you. We try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Huge episode this week, an interview with Riker Garth Evans, your young stud defenseman on the Seattle Kraken. We're excited to share our interview with him coming up later on in the pod. The trade deadline recap, Wenny is gone, Eberle's extension, and we have to talk peggers. We had a lot of pegging going on last week. NHL news, trades that stood out around the league. How does Las Vegas keep doing what they're doing? Note them questions from Jess on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. How do the refs decide which face-off dot to use? There's lots of rules, and I'll be really honest, I used ChatGPT to summarize it, and it worked. Three stars of the week, Joey and I talk about what has been going on in our personal lives, and we'll rank them. So let's get going. Episode 110 of The Kraken Pod. Let's go! What is up? My name is Jeff Januzik. This is my friend and co-host,
Joey Cirillo.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. It is it's Tuesday morning. It is March 12th already. Somehow it's already the 12th. And by the way, tonight the Seattle Kraken play the Vegas Golden Knights. Happy 1,000th NHL game to Jordan Eberle.
Yes.
The two-year recent re-signee of the Seattle Kraken.
I wonder what they're going to give him. You know, because that's a big deal, is 1,000 games.
Yeah.
Is we've talked about this before, is like they give gifts, like players, if you, it doesn't matter if you're a rookie, if you are you know, been on the team for a long time, if you got somebody on the team that gets to 1,000 games, the whole team pitches in to do some cool stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what we learn about Eberle's gifts. I always think that's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool. I'm trying to think of like a thousand hugs. Maybe like instead of like goalie kisses, he gets like Eberle forehead, 1,000 Eberle kisses.
I think that'd be weird.
Maybe he doesn't want that. Maybe that's a little weird. I don't know. Maybe he would want that.
I'm going to guess.
I don't want to make any assumptions.
I'm going to lean towards no.
Maybe he gets someone on the team. You know what I would do if I were on the team? I would go into Cameo and I would pay Nickelback to seeing him like a happy 1,000th, because I think he would fucking love that shit.
No way. Can you even do that? I mean, are they?
I'm a good gift giver. I think
that is pretty good.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to say, is Nickelback even on Cameo? I'm stopping the pod right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what's up. Nickelback. Because maybe we can do that for him. No.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Nope. No, like, no Nickelback.
Damn it.
I know.
Okay.
Chad Kroger. Let's see. Chad.
You know, you would know the front man's name.
Kroger. It doesn't. I have Chad Kroger, a YouTube star.
This Chad Kroger, the owner of Kroger Grocery Stores, that's not who we want.
No, that's a billionaire family.
Yep, definitely not it. Anyways, moving on. That's okay. Jordan Eberle. Yeah, I'm in a good mood, man. How are you doing?
I'm in a good mood too. We finally closed on the old house last Friday, and
nice.
I moved so much stuff last week to get out of the old house and cleaned it up, and it was just physical and mental, so much going on. There's a cold going around our house, so I got that cold. It's not enough to be like, oh, I got to lay down, but it's just enough to be like, eh. You know what I mean?
You sound good. And I was appreciating your unhinged, you know, late night dad videos watching or listening to the Seattle Kraken while you were cleaning. And speaking of you selling your home, congratulations. Can I borrow $50,000?
Well, I would maybe consider that if we made $50,000. So
damn it.
Okay. Yeah,
that was a test.
Not the best time to sell a house, but we got out of it.
The test, though. You passed the test. The fact that you didn't tell me to go F myself.
We got some cash there. Hey, man, you're a bud. I'd talk with you about it. Well, maybe like $500, but you know, so
it was actually just going to be like an I love you, man situation where I'm like, hey, Jeff, I can't tell you why, but I need to borrow the money. And then you're driving to work the next day and there's just billboards all over the place advertising your social media company.
Oh, smart. I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. It's been, we're We're back into another sea of boxes. So long story short, the move is still going on. Life is good though. Happy to be done with the other house. And
you have a ladder behind you. What's that for?
Eventually I'm going to get up to the ceiling here and attempt to take down a fan and a chandelier that is weirdly placed in this room.
Ooh.
And you know, it's expensive. I figure I can take stuff down. Now, can I do electrical work putting things up? No, as evidenced by a light switch panel that I put up. I changed out some switches to be dimmers. And, you know, the first of the switches, the dimmer, got it done. Okay, works. Good. Second one, okay, sweet, works. Third one, completely doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. And now when I put the old switch back on, it doesn't work either. So, yeah. Anyway, long story short, the ladder's there because I'm going to go fuck some shit up.
Yeah, no, I see that. And this feels like a National Lampoon scenario waiting to happen. So and I'm not rooting for you to get hurt here. I would like some physical comedy where you don't get hurt. But if you do climb up on that ladder and start taking down a chandelier, if you want to set up your phone to record that or be like to your wife, like, hey, honey, you mind recording me in case like I do some Jeff shit and this starts to get a little weird? Because from what I can tell, you have very high ceilings, and I think you're asking for something. Oh, my God. Yeah. People can't see it, but you're showing me. They are seriously up high. Also, why would they have a ceiling fan next to a chandelier like that? I don't understand that at all.
We asked the same question. We don't know.
So strange.
I know. So, like, the ceiling fan's got to go. The chandelier's got to go. We got a new chandelier that's going to go in the middle. Doesn't that make sense to put something in the middle? See that? Can you see it?
Yeah, no, something's got to give there. I've dealt with this situation before too. Also, if anybody watches one episode of Property Brothers, they know that those two things up there make no sense.
No sense whatsoever. So yeah.
Like, you love a nice open concept.
Hey, even I my only win in trying to switch that panel out was that I did not electrocute myself into oblivion. So
again, National Lampoon scenario. I knew.
So that's pretty good.
Yes.
I actually do shut off the power. So there's at least that. So at least I'm being smart there. So
that is smart. That is smart.
Anyway, life is good. The Kraken, their fate is in their hands. So let's get to it. Your Kraken reaction. And by the way, if you're here for the Riker Evans interview, we're going to get to that after the Kraken reaction and some NHL notes talking about trades and that sort of stuff. But your Seattle Kraken, I mean, one thing I'm going to say is, you know, we go back and forth with a lot of fans on Twitter. And I'm no math wizard. I don't know if you know that, but
you are Jeff Lasso.
I am Jeff Lasso, and I get annoyed sometimes when people are like, we have to win every single game from here on out to make it into the playoffs. And again, I don't necessarily, you know exactly what the total is, but just remember, other teams can lose. We just need a couple of teams to go on. We definitely need a losing streak from other teams, and we have to win games. But people are like, we have to win all 17 games to win, to get into the playoffs. It's the only chance, and if we don't win 17 in a row, we're not going to make it to the playoffs. Like, that's not how it works. There's other teams I don't know if you know this, but there's other teams in the NHL, and those teams can lose and those teams can fall apart. Did you know this, Joey?
I did know that.
We're going to win 17 in a row. And if we don't, I hate the Kraken and they suck and I can't stand it. It's like, Jesus, y'all.
I love it because, one, it's not 17-0. Everyone knows it's 16-1. If the Seattle Kraken do not go 16-1, the Vegas Golden Knights implode. No, I think it's what I love most about it is, though, one, it's the internet, and I don't want to be the podcast that just talks about things online for an hour. But what I love most about it, though, is everyone that listens to this podcast, whether it's your first time and you're here for Riker Evans or you've been listening for a long time, you're now a member of the Kraken Pod fam. This is how it works.
Yes.
Like, you have been, and you are to your core. This is not a bit. Literally nothing we have ever done is for a bit. You are Jeff Lasso. You're Jeff Lasso for the Seattle Kraken. You're Jeff Lasso in your professional life. You're Jeff Lasso in your personal life. You are Mr. Optimism. This is why you and I work, because I don't know if I'm Mr. Negative, but I consider myself a realist. I mean, shit, I hit the panic button on the Seattle Kraken in late November saying they are not making the playoffs This team is exactly who I think they are. And so far, I've been proven right on that. So this is it's why you and I work, because you are always going to hold out hope. I won't give anything away about the Riker Evans interview, but there's a part in it where you're like, hey, man, you guys are doing great. I think you guys are going to keep pushing and make a playoff spot. That's who you are as a person. So you being Jeff Lasso, for people to see that and be like, no, mathematically, it makes no sense. This team basically has to be the best team in the world. It's like, all right, man, chill out. Like, let Jeff just be Jeff Lasso and do Jeff Lasso things. But I also like it because, you know what? If people want to get that upset and start throwing math and stuff around, then by all means, go for it.
You know, and you're, hey, cheers to you, Joey. That's exactly right. That's why we work well together. And I do appreciate having the other side here. That's how it has to happen. But I also, too, I do understand, you know, some sports fans are just really like, you know, it's either the sky is blue or the sky is falling. And that's how they roll. And I think in my past, back in the day, I was more like that. And maybe just as I'm getting older, I'm starting to see more of like long-term investments. If I didn't feel really good about what Ron Francis has been doing, and you know me, in the couple of years we've been doing the Kraken Pod, I've always been like, oh man, trade deadline, let's make some big splashes, let's do this. I was pumped that, quote, we didn't do anything dumb or stupid or whatever he said. Ron Francis.
Ron Francis, shout out to him for that.
Right? At least we didn't do anything stupid, which is I love that. I love where the future is. We have a competitive team that's got a chance at a playoff spot for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And the upside is so big over the years. He's not selling the farm to try and make playoffs and then, you know, a second round exit if we're lucky. So
he did say that, actually. He was like, we are not in a position to be trading for first or second round picks. So that was him saying, we're literally not trading the farm right now. This is kind of where we're at. And I'll get into that later. But yeah, I agree with you.
Anyway, so I think the Kraken, you know, look, do they need to beat Las Vegas tonight? Yeah. They really do. I think they really do.
The next 2 weeks against these guys, by the way, like they really, really, really need to beat Vegas.
They have to beat Las Vegas and they have to beat Nashville. Yes. You know, and then the Caps later this week, too. But like, look, you got
to have to win every game. Is that what you're saying?
I think they have to win every game forever.
Let's look at their schedule. They have to win that one and that one and that one. We just came full circle, Jack. Remember, this is how we roll.
Other teams can lose. But hey, let's go back. Yes. We'll get to Riker here in a little bit, but let's talk about the games that we haven't talked about yet. And Thursday night, this was the night that it was literally hours before closing.
Yes.
It was the last gasp of me. I rented two U-Hauls last week. And this one was just that was a miserable day. That's the day that I think got me sick, because it was just like it was sheer stress and physical output. But I was listening again to KJR 93.3, listening to the game on the radio. Yes. And I think I need to, I don't know if I need to, you know, no slight to our TV crew who's awesome at Root Sports, but man, I might have to listen to the radio, because like I think I'm 2-3-0 when I listen to games on the radio.
Okay, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, and you absolutely need to do that. If that's the record you have listening to the radio, Jeff, I'm going to need you to. No, I'm not bullshitting. I need you to listen to the radio tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights game, because we need the good vibes only. We got to get that good juju going. This game was great. It was a back-to-back game the previous night in Calgary. That was the Pospisil game. I even calling it that. So we're missing Vince Dunn because of the dirty fucking hit that he laid out. Earmuffs. All right. It's starting to get weird already. And the Krakens got arguably their best win of the season. We pegged the Peggers. They won 4-3. At this point, the Kraken have won 4 of their last 5, getting a point in 8 of their past 10. Father Kanner stays hot. He has a goal and an assist. Schwartzy and Tatar both have goals. Burakovsky scores with 2:39 remaining in the third period to give the Kraken the 4-3 win. And what I loved about that goal was Appleton, the former Kraken, actually had a block on a puck. And it just so happened the puck came back to Burakovsky and he buries it. He goes over the glove. The Kraken ended up winning 4-3. And by the way, I love this in particular, because I don't know if it's going to happen. And again, for a very long time. How about Father Kanner? His goal of the game was on a breakaway, a shorthanded goal. The Kraken are on the PK. It's the second game in a row on the back-to-back games against Calgary and the Peggers. Father Kanner gets a shorty breakaway goal. The first Seattle Kraken player in history to ever do that. And we beat the best goaltender in the league without Vince Dunn in a top five NHL team.
That was a great win. Just an awesome win. It was so exciting. You know, listening on the radio, absolutely loved it. It was so cool. So I did have high hopes going into to Friday's game, which wasn't as bad as the score sounds. I mean, yes. this is a playoff atmosphe right now. It's playoffs. Playoffs. I'm shrinking the word down. So it's no more longer playoffs. It's now playoffs. So playoffs atmosphere. Yeah. Awesome win, but then Climate Pledge Arena losing 3-0 again. Score was not as, it wasn't that bad. I think the people
that look at this score and don't watch the game and go, oh man, this team, man, every time you think, are the same people that see the Jeff Lasso stuff and they go, no, the Seattle Kraken need to go 17-0. And like, it's the same group of people. They do exist. It is what it is. No, the Kraken do lose 3-0 in this game. But like you said, the score is not indicative of what it was. And by the way, I have to make a note. You and I flip-flopped because my ESPN was just not, like, my internet completely went out. So I'm listening to, and for some reason, I can't use ESPN Plus on my phone anymore. They keep saying the games are blacked out for my area.
Really?
Only on my phone, which is so fucking annoying. But anyways, ESPN, get your shit together. You're a multi-billion dollar organization. Anyways.
I don't care. They're counting money while you're in their sleep.
Yeah. No. Anyways, so I had to listen to the radio and I had to pull a Jeff and I had the opposite results. So from now on, if I can't watch the game, I cannot listen to it because I brought the bad juju. But listening to the game was tied 0-0 going into the third period. It was one of those games where, and again, it's from the radio broadcast I was listening to, the Kraken just kind of seemed like out of steam a little bit and tired, mm-hmm. but they're battling again, a top five team in the NHL. It's 0-0 going into the third period, and neither team was giving the other a chance to really do anything. I mean, Tatar in the second period, he had a shot that hit the post in a sweet backy attempt in the third period that went just a little bit wide. Burakovsky had a breakaway that he ended up missing. Those were probably the best chances that Seattle Kraken had to score all game, and they ended up getting blanked for it. And I don't know, man. It's one of those things where you and I talked about last week how Winnipeg is so good, specifically on their defense. Like, offensively, they won't overwhelm you. They're just consistent. But defensively is where it's at for them. And the play for them to really win the game and to really break it open is in the third period. Father Kanter cannot clear the blue line. Morrissey is draped all over him. And they end up finding a wide open, I think it was Shifley, in front of the net, who ends up scoring and makes it 1-0. And the next thing you know, it's like, okay, the momentum is now officially in the favor of the Peggers. And the Kraken went full switch, and we end up getting pegged. So, yeah, that's what happened. The Kraken ended up losing 3-0 because of the empty net goal, and that's never a good time. But at the end of the day, the boys played really, really, really tough. I'm actually very proud of them for this showing.
Yeah, that was a great showing. Goaltending, you know, that's something that is not getting enough talk. Between Gru and Joey Decord, it's like they're like the third or fourth or fifth best goaltending duo in the league, and that's awesome. That's an awesome thing to look at. No matter what happens for the rest of this season, if we make playoffs, if we don't, that's a great feeling to go into the next season saying, like, look, we've got a two-headed monster now. This is fantastic. Also, too, the Winnipeg Jets are like the number one team in the league for scoring goals in the third period. So that's basically, we got there, and then the steam just was no longer there, and then we ended up, you know, just caving into the Peggers. So we got pegged, we gave the peg, and we got the peg.
Yep, no, totally agree. And by the way, I love what you made that comment about them being a third period team. I was actually looking and reading a quote from Adam Lowry, who talked about after the game how they know they are a third period team because they can basically wear teams down and then start really implementing their game and keep up the solid defense. And that's when they can kind of break it open. And that's what makes them such a dangerous squad. So we basically played exactly into their hands. And by the way, we were again without our best defender and one of our best goal scorers in Vince Dunn, and Jaden Schwartz left the game, upper body industry. And he did not come back for the second and third period. So the Kraken went into the game shorthanded. it would have been a big ask. I mean, to beat the Peggers twice in a week is big. I mean, getting the win on the road against them was huge. It happens. The boys put out a good effort. Joey DeCord played really, really well. We just couldn't generate the goals to support him.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the league, so I'm happy with that effort. But yes, we need to see that effort coming up because we've got Las Vegas,
yes,
the Golden Knights, and we've got to beat them. I mean, really, you just mentioned it earlier. We're going to play them twice in the next 2 weeks. We got to beat them both times because as of right now, we're looking at here Tuesday, March 12th, the current wild card standings. Wild card one, the Preds have 78 points. And the Golden Knights have 75 points. Preds have played 66 games. Knights have played 64. Next, we've got the Blues at 69 points and the Wild at 69 points after freaking pulling a goalie in overtime and doing all the crazy stuff, which, by the way,
unbelievable.
In the Riker Evans interview, he drops a rule on us that we didn't know.
No.
And you would expect an NHL player to know the rules. And he drops a rule about that overtime win, which was like, wow, I didn't know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we geeked out with Garth for a second. It was really cool to hear him talk about that because he was paying attention too.
So with the Kraken, we currently sit fifth in the wild card rankings here with 67 points. We've only played 63 games. At one point, we were ahead. We had played more games than most in the Western Conference, but now we've got a few games in hand to maybe make a little run here. So that run's got to start soon.
Yes. It starts tonight.
We got the Caps on Thursday night. And the Washington Capitals, they are in the wild card hunt in the Eastern Conference, so they need to win too. So that's
the Capitals are us on the East Coast. That's all they are.
Yeah, pretty much right there. I mean, Detroit kind of had a really nice lead for that second wild card spot for a few weeks, but they've been sucking lately. They've lost five in a row. And they're currently they hold the second wild card spot, but then you got the Islanders was tied with them at 72 points.
Yeah, and then the push.
The Caps, 69 points right there. So the Caps are hungry and they want to win. So that's going to be no easy feat right there.
No.
And then I think if you beat Las Vegas tonight, you have to, right? You got
to
do it. Game of the season. I think the game that is going to be the season, it should be a party atmosphere. Let's go Nashville, Saturday, Nashville. That's going to be crazy big. We've got to beat Nashville. The Preds come to town, so we got to do it.
I'm with you. The only thing I disagree on is I think it starts tonight. For me, tonight needs to be treated like a legitimate playoff game. I would argue that the Kraken need to win 17 games in a row in order to make playoffs. No,
I think 30 games in a row.
Ooh, I like it. No, so yeah, like you said, Saturday against Nashville, then Monday, by the way, against Buffalo at home. Like that's not a team to sleep on either. So like you just mentioned the points and the standings and everything. The Kraken are 8 points behind Vegas right now. They have played one more game than us. We have two chances in the upcoming 2 weeks to play Vegas. We play them twice. Like that is freaking huge. And in fact, if the Kraken win tonight, they will leapfrog and be in third for the wild card position, the wild card polling, and be 6 points behind Vegas for that second wild card with the chance to play them again in the next 2 weeks. So this game to me is the game. Obviously Saturday against Nashville, but those are two massive, massive matchups. And again, it's like we talked about on last week's episode. Basically, every game from here on out has to be treated like a playoff game. I mean, really, that's the mentality the boys have to have and they have to adopt. Riker talked a little bit about that. But I like the attitude of this team. I like their mentality. I'm not Jeff Lasso. I'm a realist. I do not think the Seattle Kraken can make the playoffs. Please prove me wrong. But that's where I am at. They have a large hill they have to climb. But at the end of the day, it really is up to them and how badly they want it.
Let's say this is, I think these next three games, as you mentioned, are must wins. And currently right now, MoneyPuck.com has their odds this morning at 15.7%. to make playoffs. Yesterday it was like 18.9%, and then on Sunday it was like 17 point something percent. So like you've got to beat these three teams. You got to get three wins in a row to have a shot. The one thing they could do it, but I am worried about being at Climate Pledge Arena for four games in a row. I don't know if
which
I like
fucking
that.
Sucks because we do not have that home ice advantage, but you know, maybe we can flip things around, man. Who knows? You know, it would be nice, and I haven't seen an update on it yet, but I don't know the severity of the injury, but I would expect Vince Dunn to be back tonight against Las Vegas.
He was no contact yesterday. He was practicing with no contact, so I don't know.
I don't know. So who knows? Well, it's the NHL, so we're never going to get, you know, we'll just get like a Dave Haxtell quote, like just referencing like a Dr. Seuss book. And like, wait, what does that mean? And then he'll just walk away from the podium.
So quick thing is, vibes check. I'm wondering if like the Ebbs thing kind of drained the team a little bit, and maybe that's why, like, while it was a good effort on Friday night against the Peggers, I'm being serious here. I'm wondering if like that sort of like potentially losing Ebbs, who is somebody that is like a key component of leadership for the Seattle Kraken. I wonder if that kind of like sent them into a funk a little bit.
There's no way that a situation like that does not have an impact on the team, right? I mean, it for better or for worse, at the end of the day, they're all human beings. They just happen to be really good skating around on knife shoes. And
yeah,
it's just one of those things where I don't know. Like, I don't think we will ever know. I'm sure it impacted him to a degree. You know, it was cool seeing the interviews afterwards, right? Of him just being like, I'm glad it's done. I can focus on playing hockey. We can get into a little bit more of the details later of the signing. But yeah, I think it has to impact the team to some degree. But here's me playing devil's advocate. For the most part, every other team in the NHL is dealing with the same. And Winnipeg, by the way, I would say one of the winners at the trade deadline, they were also making moves too to bolster their roster. So it's not like we're a special case. It's just one of those things where you have to be professionals. You have to go out there and do it. I think that they played a top five team for the second time in a week.
Yeah.
It's a big ask to ask them to win back-to-back games. And the boys, they really, really tried.
Well, so Ebbs gets, I agree with you, Ebbs gets signed 2 years, 4.75 AAV. The rumor was that he wanted 3 years. And the rumor was that Ron Francis just slid the paper back across the table and said 2 years. And then Ebbs said, okay. And I'm happy. I'm really happy because I actually, there hasn't been a player. Well, I'm bummed to have players leave the Kraken. Like Wenny leaving the Kraken to me, like that's, you know, I really did like that guy, but man, different wrong. Vibe, different vibe with Ebbs. If he would have left, I would have been really, you know, broken up about that. So I'm glad he stuck around. So I think that was a solid move, and you're building, you know, the leadership future of this team, because there's a lot of young guys that need leadership. And I think that's going to pay off in dividends over the next couple of years.
I agree. I might rub people the wrong way, whatever. I'm just keeping it real for me. I did not want to give Eberle 3 years because he is getting up there in age. So I am happy. I am happy with the 2 years.
Oh,
got a dog.
Yep. Bear, hang on. Bear, chill out. Hey, no.
Bear wanted 3 years, and now I'm being yelled at.
He is, yeah. He's not liking that. Fence guys. We got fence guys helping us with the fence. Bear, that's Chaka the fence guy. He's cool.
We're leaving all of this in, by the way.
Oh, you have to. You can't edit. Can you please edit out every single bark, please? That'd be fantastic.
Every bark. Send that to producer Brandon. Like, hey, there's gonna be some barks at the 28-minute mark.
yeah. We are a very professional podcast. By the way, thanks to the Seattle Kraken PR for giving us Riker Evans, who's coming up in a few minutes. So we have dog barking.
But yeah, no, man, I did not want 3 years. I think the shorter term made sense. You had to pay a little bit more in order to make that happen. I'm okay with it. And I have concerns about the top six for the Seattle Kraken moving forward, because it's not like this move addresses anything.
Right.
But here's the thing, like the Kraken are going to address this in the off season, because in my opinion, what the Kraken did, or rather did not do at the trade deadline, makes me believe that Ron Francis is on the same page as me, where he's like, don't know if this team is a playoff team. They probably might not be, but let's ride out for the most part with the boys that we have. Getting rid of Wennberg made sense because he's an unrestricted free agent. I think they sold high on him. And to get, you know, a second and a fourth round pick back, I think is a pretty good return.
Yeah. We're
freeing up some cap space. And yes, we retain 50%, but it is what it is, man. It's like, it's for the last, you know, it's for the last year of his contract. It'll be fine. So the top six of the Seattle Kraken needs to be addressed, that is going to be addressed this offseason. I'm saying it right now.
It will. I think they're going to make some moves, and they got some guys to come in, Shane Wright and all the pipeline and, you know, the Furkus Circus and all that stuff. Like, we got
God,
so much.
So good, dude.
So good.
I'm so ready for him to be my favorite Kraken. I'm all aboard the Furkus Circus. I'm fucking juggling at the Furkus Circus. I'm there. I'm hanging out with the bearded lady at the Furkus Circus.
There needs to be a bearded lady on this team. I'm all about that. Let's talk about some of the trade stuff around the NHL. You know, the talk is the Golden Knights doing this again, the cap circumvention for the fourth year in a row. Mark Stone has a kidney laceration that needs to be repaired, right? So he's out for a few months.
Yeah.
So they put him on long-term IR, which basically what happens is when you put a player on long-term IR, their salary doesn't count up against the cap. So, like, they did that, and they were able to go out and get Noah Hanifin from Calgary, who was like one of the, you know, stud guys that was going to be available. Tomas Hertl, right? From the Sharks, who's hurt, but when he's healthy, he's an awesome offensive player.
Yes.
Anthony Mantha used to play for the Red Wings. And he comes over as kind of like an underperformer, over the past couple of years, but he can do it. So, like, they just built up their team big time, which is fantastic. So, you know, they are getting a lot of, like, how the hell do they keep doing this? But I guess really it comes down to, like, why aren't other teams doing this more? I mean, they're I hate Las Vegas. I do not like the Golden Knights at all. But they just keep doing the thing that they're allowed to do. Like, it is what it is.
They're doing the Vegas Golden Knights. All they have is a front office that's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that is frustrating for a lot of people. But it's not like the cap circumvention is limited to only the Vegas Golden Knights. It's just not. And it's one of those things where it's like this team. And by the way, when they are making these trades and like they're looking at their roster and they're like, what do we need? A top six forward, a top pairing defenseman, and a top nine forward. Well, guess what? They didn't go out and get one or two of those things. They got all three to really bolster their situation. Mark Stone, again, goes to LTIR. I'm not sure why. Probably some made up shit. Like, oh, he's going on the carnivore diet. He needs a couple weeks.
No, he like, literally had it. He has his kidney.
I know, but it is a
move. No, not kidney. Not kidney. It's a it is not his liver. It's another. It's not his gallbladder. It's Liver King. Liver King ate his liver.
King in Las Vegas. That makes sense.
Yeah. Liver King came up, ate his liver. Made a video about it. And
that guy's not on steroids. Yeah. No, man. So. And again, it is a move for the LTIR. And here's the thing. If you get frustrated by it, just be frustrated. Oh, see, I'm getting yelled at again. So
yeah, I know.
Just be frustrated that your team does not do everything they can in their power to win. Because when the Vegas Golden Knights made these moves, and by the way, I don't fucking like them either. So for me to defend them right now is really hurting me. Like, I'm going to have to get out of this podcast and go straight to therapy. Like, Melissa, we got some shit to uncover. But when they made, you know, these moves, the Kraken had lost four the Vegas Golden Knights had lost four out of their last five and eight out of their last 10 games, Jeff.
Right.
But they're still looking at that roster saying, no, we are a playoff team. We're in a bit of a slump. We've been dealing with a litany of injuries. Let's do some moves for some cap circumvention and let's bring in the guys that we can, you know, rely on to give us a chance at winning back-to-back cups. And that is what they do. Now, either the NHL, like either other organizations, other teams in the NHL need to adopt the cap circumvention and stop bitching about the Vegas Golden Knights doing it. Or the NHL just makes it to where teams can't do this and everyone can stop talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. So, you know, they did it. They're doing the thing. They're going for it. I can't blame them for going for it, trying to win two in a row. And, you know, if they can pull that off, you know.
Yeah.
I will not be happy, but it is what it is, and they did it. So it was the trade deadline was interesting. It was you know, nothing super huge, but you know, there's definitely some names moving around. I think that it didn't drastically transform the landscape, and we'll see too. Is like some chemistry issues, I think, with the Golden Knights. You know, who knows if these guys can come in and do anything and help them out? They could just screw everything up. So we'll see. But you know,
they seem to always make the right moves. I mean, they kind of get the guys that are vets and kind of know what they're doing to come in there and make and get shit done. But winning back-to-back cups is, you know, extremely challenging, right? You're on top of the hill and everyone wants to knock you off. This is kind of how it works. Other teams really quick that I just made, you know, some notes of here. Winnipeg, the Peggers, like we're playing them. They make a move for Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller. That's the Devils defenseman. And Toffoli was just a great winger that was on the market. So they bolstered their roster. The Avalanche, they part ways with Bowen Byram. I thought that was huge. They gave Ryan Johansson to the Flyers. They get Sean Walker, who's like a top four defenseman in return. They get Casey Mittelstadt, so they get like a top six center.
He's
so,
really good. He's a really good player. No,
I really like Casey Mittelstadt going to the Avs. In fact, I didn't say this via socials or anything, but I was like, I wonder what the Avalanche odds to win the Cup were before and after the trade deadline, because I actually really like what the Colorado Avalanche did. So yeah, man, those are just some of the moves that really stood out to me. But overall, like you said, it was a very interesting trade deadline. I have to ask you really quick, because we are a Detroit Red Wings podcast, secretly, not so secretly. What did you think about the Detroit Red Wings at the trade deadline? Because I saw that ESPN had them as in the loser category, which, by the way, the Seattle Kraken did not make any category, which I think is totally fair, because we really didn't do shit aside from, you know, give Eberle two more years and ship Winnie over to New York.
He basically, here's my thing, is both my teams, the Kraken and the Red Wings, they are comfortable sitting, looking at their future going, we're not going to sell the farm to try and make playoffs this year. Yeah. You know, yeah, would it be nice to have the Red Wings in the playoffs for the first time in like 10 years or whatever it is? Absolutely, would love that. But at the same time, Steve Yzerman's made a lot of moves and invested in a lot of different things, and he's not going to sell the farm. So they basically did nothing. Like, they made a very minor move, right? And that's why people are like, whoa! And Detroit fans are worse than Kraken fans. Kraken fans pretty cool. Detroit Red Wings fans, I see a lot of people going like, oh, Steve Yzerman needs to be fired. Da, da, da. Like, dude.
Jesus, that's a bold statement.
Just chill out. Like, he's just like Ronnie Francis. Steve Yzerman's got an amazing track record as a player and as a GM. Like, just let him cook, dude, and it's going to be fine. We don't make playoffs. Okay, great. We haven't made playoffs in how many years now? Let's just chill out. Gosh, darn.
See, this
it.
Is why we work. This is why I love you. Because if I'm a Red Wings fan, I'm pissed.
There you go. That's funny.
Because I would be looking at this team going, we have roughly $14 million coming up in cap space. We have a team that's really good, that's in a bit of a slump right now. Like, this is a good team. Let's fucking make a move or two and get into the playoffs. Like, what the fuck are we doing? So I'm like, this is why. Yeah, this is
he's gonna tinker. He's got that money. He's gonna let it sit and simmer. He's gonna think. He's gonna think about it.
He is a tinkerer. You know? He is a tinkerer. And by the way, the school of tinkering, Ron Francis is in that school. He's sitting right next to Yzerman. Like, they're passing notes together in class. They're in the tinkering school.
Hall of Fame GMs at the helm of both my teams, and I couldn't be happier about the future of both those teams. And at some point, I feel like it's inevitable, because there's universal gobsmacks like this that happen all the time. I'm seeing in like 4 years, 5 years, a Kraken Red Wings Stanley Cup final, and I will kill myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm just going to say that's
there
it.
There you go. So, Hall of Fame tinkering Hall of Fame.
I may go completely off my rocker and do the split in the middle, the jersey split in the middle, which is the absolute worst thing you can do in sports.
The worst thing.
But half Red Wings, if they make Stanley Cup finals, I will force myself to be that guy, and I will have a half Kraken, half Red Wings jersey, and I will hate myself every second of it. But if that happens, I'm gonna have to do that. Like, I'll have to do it.
My voice is cracked. I think I just hit puberty. My balls just dropped. So
you were disgusted
at first. I was disgusted, and I was also picturing you at a game with like the half stitch jersey, and I would just pray. I would actually probably pay somebody, if it didn't happen, to come up to you and be like, "Oh, are you a parent? Are one of your kids on the ice?" You're like, "Nope, just a guy."
Just a dude. That's it.
Hockey parent? Nope. Just a dude. Just a dude with this jersey on.
That's right. That's all I am. All right. So DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm going to put a bet down tonight on this game. I'm going to go.
We need
good vibes only parlay with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you're getting in. Download the app now. Use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. So bet on the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net and see our show notes for details. I'm definitely thinking Moneyline Kraken. I'm thinking, I mean, you can't bet against Father Kanner scoring a goal. So I might go with that, but I'm going to do a good vibe parlay tonight. We need the good vibes, so I'm ready for that. So,
dude, if you want to go super good vibes and also give us like ridiculous odds to win,
yeah,
you would put Kraken to win,
yep,
Riker Evans goal, which would be his first ever in the NHL after the conversation we had with him.
I'm going to do that one. I'm going to do it. If they give me that option, because sometimes they don't have everybody on the team available for a goal score.
We had those issues with Matty Beniers. Remember that?
We did, and which was a scam. Let me check. Let me talk about something else, and then we'll get into Riker Evans here real quick. Also, while I do this, Raycon wireless earbuds, dude, these things sound amazing. They cost half as much, if that, of the Fruit brand earbuds. They are really pretty much they're guaranteed to work, money back guarantee. So many awesome ratings. Raycon wireless earbuds sound great, battery life's great, weight, it's like hella inexpensive. I also just said hella for the first time in my life.
Yeah, we're from the Bay Area. What was that?
Yeah, okay. Pretty awesome, dude. I'm gonna go skateboard on the golf course cart path here shortly. Okay. Yeah.
You had me at hella. You just lost me at skateboard on the golf course.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I don't know, man. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. Buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off your Raycon order. Buyraycon.com/THPN. All right, so let's see. I'm going into this live right now. I'm back into DraftKings Sportsbook app. I'm picking NHL. Let's see what we got. I'm going to go to the game for tonight. Look at this. Look at this. A 908 puck drop. So let's see. Golden Knights at Seattle Kraken. Let me pick my same game parlay. So Good Vibes Parlay, which we have branded ours. Ooh, Kraken money line plus 124. I'm going to take that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look. Riker Evans plus 1300. Boom.
Ooh, boom. Look at those fucking odds.
All right, I'm doing it. Okay, Kraken to win. Riker Evans to score a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 1300. I'm putting 10 down to win 140.
There you go. I like those odds, man. I like those freaking odds. I might
gotta do it.
I'm gonna hop into the app later on after we get down. I'm gonna do the same. I might even bump it up a little bit and just do over on the total number of goals, which is probably like six.
Yeah, good idea. I like experimenting with that sort of stuff with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, which is awesome. That was a smart call on the Riker Evans good vibes. I like that.
Keep the vibes going, man. And again, I won't give anything away about the interview, but we talked to him very briefly about his first goal and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We talked about some good stuff. So let's get to it. Thanks to the Seattle Kraken PR team for apparently they don't listen to our show, because if they did, they would not give us players like Riker Evans to talk to. So very, very thankful to them. So let's get to it. Here he is. The young stud defenseman for your Seattle Kraken. Let's get it over to Riker Evans. Welcome to it, man. We are so pumped to have this dude on the show, and we're appreciative of the Seattle Kraken admins for making this happen. But the Seattle Kraken's very own Riker Evans, welcome to the Kraken Pod, dude.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
So let's start with a few things here. Is where in the world are you right now?
In Seattle right now.
Okay. Now, is this your place? Are you crashing somewhere? Where are you living?
No, I'm in the hotel right now.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's cool.
Are you doing living out of the hotel rooms, living out of two suitcases, and still using Cartier's washing machine? Like, what's the deal with that?
That's exactly it. Yes.
Wait, so are you rooming with carts then?
No, so I'm at the hotel. I've been living in the hotel for a little bit now.
But you have your own room at least, right? You don't have to share.
Yeah, only on the road, me and carts share. Yeah.
All right.
Actually going over to Karts' house for dinner tonight, so I don't have to eat out.
What? Okay, so wait. So Karts has a house in Seattle, which is awesome. What's on the menu? What are y'all eating?
His girlfriend's cooking chicken parm, so.
Hell yeah.
Good.
She's a keeper. No, nothing else about it. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, no, it's it should be good.
Chicken parm. I almost had, I was at an Italian spot here, and I was, chicken parm is like my go-to at the Italian spot, so I'm very jealous. That's, that sounds also too like it's a good, get those carbs in, you know, for that morning skate tomorrow and then get ready for the game and all that sort of good stuff. So
yeah, no, I I'm usually a chicken al vodka guy. I love that. Anytime I go out to an Italian spot, that's the go-to, but we'll switch it up and have some chicken parm.
So how is it, man? How's life in the show?
It's been pretty sweet so far. Other than living out of the suitcases.
But you're doing a good job, though, of making a case for ditching the suitcase, right? And sticking around and doing your thing. Like, you know, what are you learning since being in the big time? And, like, what's it like for you, this transition? You know, you've had an awesome career. And you know, we're, as fans, we're excited to have you part of the Seattle Kraken organization. But, like, where's your head at? What have you learned? Are you just, like, eyes wide open, absorbing so much? Like, what is it like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different change. It's a different league completely. Like in the AHL, guys are trying to run you through the boards and stuff like that. And up here, guys are trying to outsmart you. So just little changes like that. And then just the travel. Is to travel up here is just, it's crazy. You learn pretty quick how to pack and then just how to take care of your body.
Okay, so are you an overpacker, an underpacker? Are you, like, simple? Do you have to, like, you know, I throw so much stuff, I don't know what to pick, so I just throw everything into a suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, I try to underpack, but I always end up overpacking when I think I'm packing.
So now, like, okay, you're talking about having chicken parm with Cart's girlfriend making some chicken parm for you tonight, but, like, what is health like, you know, on the, going from AHL to NHL? What are they doing? You know, do they have guys who are, like, monitoring what you're doing? Is it on you? Like, what is the, I mean, look, I don't know if you know this, Riker. I'm pretty well versed in, hockey, 'cause I played a lot of beer leagues. So, like, I'm sure it's very, pretty much the same. But, like, health wise, like, what have you learned so far? I mean, that's gotta be a completely different transition. It's so fast. Guys are so smart. What's that like? Like, what kind of health stuff have you learned in the short time that you've been around?
Honestly, both places are amazing. I learned so much in both spots. Coachella did do a great job of teaching the young guys how to take care of themselves and feeding them properly at the rink too. And here in Seattle, you just kind of on your own because they expect you to kind of know that stuff. So you do what works for you.
Okay, that's scary, but also awesome too. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't be where you are if you didn't pay attention to what you're doing. All right, so you're from Calgary.
Yeah, big city, Calgary.
All right, so we just had some major run-ins with the Flames. Is that, you know, is that tough? You grew up a Flames fan?
Honestly, no. I was a Colorado Avalanche fan growing up.
Nice.
A Sakic fan.
Yeah. I'm from Detroit, so that's tough. But I much respect, and I can tell, right? I can tell you have class because Joe Sakic is somebody that I'll always respect. Number 19 to a Steve Yzerman number 19. So being an Avs fan, I can give you that. But, you know, I went through it all with the Lemieux stuff and all that sort of stuff. So you grew up in Calgary. You grew up an Avs fan. Was Joe Sakic your guy? Is that your idol?
Yeah, he was always my guy. And then my dad loved Steve Yzerman. So growing up, I was always number 19. And then
that's so cool.
Obviously in junior, I ended up switching to 41. But 19 was always my number because of Joe Sakic.
That's awesome. Why 41?
That's just what they gave me when I first got to Regina, and I just ended up sticking.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so kind of popping over, like, let's talk about some league stuff. Like, what? Talk to us, Carts, Calgary, you. What was that like? I mean, you know, you're now dealing with big time drama, right? That happens in the NHL. You know, what was that like? What's, like, the moment so far that's been like, whoa, this is really super intense? Was it that game? Was there a different game that stood out to you? Like, I can't believe this. This is nuts.
Not really. There hasn't really been any drama like that that's really stood out to me.
Right.
Just kind of soaking it all in. When you're out there playing, you kind of forget that you're in the National Hockey League. You just feel like another game. Until you take a step back and and kind of look at it from like a viewer standpoint, and you're like, holy smokes, like you're in the NHL.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Now, the hockey obviously been in your blood, you know, since when did you start skating? Like, how old were you?
I started skating when I was 2 years old, and then I don't really know when I started doing recreational hockey. I think probably 5 or 6, but I started skating when I was 2.
That's nuts. So, like, you know, we are, you know, I grew up in Michigan, so I you know, skated, you know, poorly. But I was skating when I was a young kid. You know, Joey has never really skated before.
Literally never.
Yeah. Yeah. huge hockey fan, though, which is good. Like, what's your earliest, like, hockey moment?
Like, that I remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there, like, a standout time where you, like, you know, scored 15 goals in a game or... What was one thing from your youth that you remember specifically about playing hockey?
Honestly, the first thing that popped in my mind was my dad was always a coach. So I remember he would one time, and I think it was like we were losing or something, but he's a competitive guy, and I mean, he didn't let me change for 7 minutes.
I mean,
now when you look back, you're like, I wish that happens more, but like, it's at the time I was pissed at him. He wouldn't let me come off the ice. But I mean, that's like the first thing I kind of remember.
That's awesome.
You mentioned your dad. I know that he owns Core Power over in Calgary. Do you still go there and get some training in? I mean, I know it's again, Core Power. He trains in skating and in hockey. Do you still go there in the off season and work with your dad over there?
Yeah, all the time. We're on the ice. I'm usually only on the ice with him. And
nice.
Yeah, I love working with him. It's a lot more fun.
Does he still like gas you? Does he still like, you know, run you ragged? You flashing back to that time?
Not really. I'm more on him now. Passes are good and everything.
That's awesome. Do you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger sister. She plays hockey out at Merrimack.
Oh, that's awesome. Right on. So hockey family, you know, dad's.
Is she out there because your dad went to UMass? Is that the reason why? Sorry to cut you off there, Jeff.
It's all good.
No, that's just where she got her scholarship was back there.
That's awesome. You get a chance to watch her play at all?
When we were in Boston, I got to go up there and visit the campus, and she kind of toured me around, so that was good.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's cool. So, like, what was the time when you knew that, like, I mean, you seem like a pretty humble dude, right? But what was the time where you kind of knew that, like, you had a chance to go far in hockey? Was there a time where you were like, this is something that it could be my career?
Yeah, I think it was either my 18, 19-year-old year in junior. Mm-hmm. I kind of found, like, my game and confidence started coming. And then I slowly realized, like, I could probably make a career out of this. And I just worked on little things that slowly started evolving into my game. And I think the biggest part was the confidence aspect. I think I kind of lacked at the start. So once I started kind of realizing that I could probably do this, I took off.
Well, you know, in my vast experience of playing hockey, confidence has to, for a defenseman, you have to have that confidence. You got to know what you're doing. Has there been anything else that, like, you know, you picked up that really made you a better defenseman? I mean, being confident is one thing, but like, the game has changed so much in like the last 10 years even, right? Like what has, if anything, has changed or helped you become a better defenseman?
I like watching video on other guys around the league, especially the top D man. But I think people say it's called swagger, and you just believe in your abilities. And I mean, I thought I had the abilities, but I just didn't believe it. So kind of just telling myself that. And I think that's the biggest thing that's allowed me to take the step.
So that imposter syndrome, man, it never goes away. But that's a good thing, though. It keeps you humble, keeps you working hard, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know that in 2018, you and your team, the Notre Dame Hounds, like, you had a really big year. So you go to the Telus Cup, you win the whole thing. I think it's the fifth time that that Notre Dame was champions, and you were also named the best defenseman in that tournament. Was that the year that you really felt like your confidence started to turn things around? You're like, okay, I can really do this.
Not really.
Interesting.
That was kind of a year, like, because I hadn't signed in the Western Hockey League yet, and that was kind of like going to the Telus Cup and winning that was kind of like solidified that like maybe I'd get a contract. But I had to be a certain weight to be able to get a contract. I don't think I've ever said this like on the media, but like we used to like for I had to weigh in at the start of camp, and we actually tied ankle weights to my thighs so that I could weigh over 150. And I mean, like the path, they always believed in me, and they just wanted me to be a bit heavier. And I didn't make the cut, so I had to. My mom actually came up with the idea of strapping ankle weights to my thighs, and I think I ended up being like 155. But no, it was a scary moment. I'm like, catch me.
What look, if mom signs off on a wild idea like that, you're like, I'm in. Look, she's got my back. If this messes up. That's pretty awesome. You didn't have to go through a metal detector or anything, huh? You lucked out on that one.
No, I weighed in and I ran back to the car.
That's awesome. Okay, so like, you know, look, I've been watching hockey my whole life, and I've heard there's drastic differences. You know, you crushed it in the WHL. Like, what's the difference between the WHL and like the AHL?
Yeah, there's a huge difference. In the AHL, you're playing grown men now. In the WHL, you're playing 16 to 20 year olds. So obviously when you're in that 19, 20 year old range, like you're dominating that league because you're playing against younger guys, and the game's a bit different. Like it's not nearly as structured as the AHL. So the biggest part is learning structurally how to play when you make that jump, and then just kind of finding your role on the team, especially.
So going back to the WHL, mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, the AHL is a little more, you're playing against men, but like, was Connor Bedard, you played with him. Was he, everybody said it. I mean, you're not gonna probably say anything too groundbreaking here, but like, was he just that guy back then?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. I remember when he first came in, he was 15, and, I think I was 18 or 19 at the time. And like, I was learning stuff from this guy. Like I loved watching him in practice, cause then like I would try some stuff that he'd be doing. Cause I mean, he's just so smart and creative. So it was cool to watch and to be a part of.
That's and like, do you become friends with him at all? Do you keep up with him at all? Or is it just, play together?
Yeah. We text a little bit here and there to congratulate him on his accomplishments.
That's cool. All right, so you get drafted by the Kraken. What was that like, man? How was that? 35th overall is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool day.
Were you sleeping?
No, the funny story was I was just laying in bed. my parents were
so awesome.
Yeah, my parents were upstairs watching the draft, and all I heard was yelling and screaming. I thought someone set the house on fire or something. And then like 2 minutes later, Ron called. So
that's awesome. Were you nervous? Is that why you couldn't watch?
Not really. No, I was more just kind of like mad, but I mean, it all worked out and caught me by surprise a little bit too.
I kind of set you out there. I asked if you were sleeping because I read a story and I want to ask you if this is true, that apparently your agent is the one that told you to sleep through the earlier rounds. So you didn't like give your hopes up. So you're like, screw it. I'm going to go take a nap. And then you get called 35th overall. I'm like, hey man, like wake up. Like you just got drafted by the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah. I mean, his job's like to kind of give you like an idea as to where you're going to go. Like he can't tell you exactly. So instead of giving someone's hopes up, he's told you not to watch it. But I was just laying in bed there.
Yeah. You know, you got drafted into the league, right? That's awesome. But sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is like you were obviously you wanted to go higher. Is that why you were kind of not happy?
No, I mean, I can't complain where I went, obviously.
Of course. Yeah. Life's good now. But like in that moment, were you like, man, were you mad at any other team for not picking you?
Not really. No, it's like as a 20 year old, when I got drafted, like pretty rare that a guy gets drafted that high. year-old. So, no, I just like mad for years past because got passed over twice. But I mean, it all works out.
Hey, to their loss, our gain as Kraken fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's Ron Francis like? I mean, he's a wizard. We kind of feel like we have faith in Ron, trust in Ronnie, and like he's just building something awesome in Seattle. And is he just that smart? Do you just like have full, utter faith in him for what he's built? Tell me about Ron Francis.
I think his hockey career can explain a lot.
Fair. Yeah.
One of the smartest hockey players to ever play. Yeah. So he knows the game inside and out. He's obviously got a track record to back it up. So if I were the Kraken fans, I would have full faith in him.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, you can tell he's like this past, trade deadline, he's just playing it cool, and he's just happy with what he's invested in, and he's going to continue to invest in guys like you in the future, which is awesome. Coachella Valley Firebirds, only been around for a short while. You were part of that. What was it like playing, being a Firebird, and what's it like having that, with you? Like, what are memories like that with that? I mean, it was pretty fresh still, right? But
yeah,
what was it like with the Firebirds?
Yeah, probably to date, though, last season was probably the funnest year of hockey I've ever had.
I mean, you crushed it, dude. You crushed it. You guys almost made it happen.
I know. Yeah. We had such great guys, that made it so much fun, to come to the rink every day. And then obviously we were winning games. And the things you learn that year, like I learned how to cook and stuff like that.
Nice.
Just such a good year. Learned lots, and I'm still like, obviously those guys are like family to me now. So, I mean, it was definitely the best year of hockey I've had.
26 points. Sorry, I'm sorry. 26 points, 26 games. Joey, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think we had asked Karts the same question I'm going to ask you. We were talking to him, and we were just like, hey, what's your favorite hockey memory? And he actually went back to last year with Coachella Valley, specifically the Calder Cup. Like, do you have any specific memories on that? I mean, I know it was crazy. It goes to Game 7. It goes to overtime in Game 7. Last time that happened was like 1953. It was a hell of a series. Like, do you look back on that and you have good memories of it? Or are you just like, I want to win the whole thing this year? And now I'm looking on top of the standings. And of course, like Coachella Valley and Hershey Bears, again, they're right up there. I mean, there's a very good chance that y'all face each other again in the Calder Cup final.
Yeah. I think me and Cards can both say that, I mean, we got treated very well. And like, everything that happened that year was kind of historical. Like it was so fun. I can't say a bad thing that happened all year. I mean, it was such a good time, and I hope we do versus Hershey again in the final. That'd be pretty sweet.
Do you have a favorite memory from last season?
I mean, there were so many. I did like the time when we beat Calgary in overtime there, and Podorowski scored that goal. I was fired. I was probably the most fired up I've ever been.
Yeah, it was a sweet goal.
Are the Firebirds, okay, so this is something that to me, are the Firebirds jerseys the sickest jersey that you've ever played in? What's like the Firebirds jersey to come out the gate with that, such an awesome jersey? I mean, the Kraken jerseys, obviously that's a different story for us. Like, we're just so passionate about it. But I gotta say, Coachella Valley logo is just awesome.
Yeah, I do like the have you guys seen our Sunday Reds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are Sunday Reds, kind of like when Tiger wears his red.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, those Sunday Reds make Tiger Woods jealous. Like, those are, they're fucking sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like those ones. I like that logo, that third.
That's awesome. All right. So, like, first game last December, what was it like? First game in the NHL? I mean, you felt confident going into it. You were freaking out. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I felt pretty confident going into the game. I think it made it easier that I knew like my family was going to be there. So that worked out well. Like, they weren't rushing to the game or anything. They kind of knew I was going to be in. So I was kind of able to just go in there with nothing in my head and just go out there and play. So it made it a lot easier.
Five days after your debut, you get your first NHL points against Florida. You get an assist. did that feel like you got the monkey off your back? Or are you still like, I'm waiting to score that first goal?
Yeah, obviously you're waiting to score that first goal, and that's in the back of your mind because you just wanted to get it over with.
Yeah.
Getting your first point was pretty sweet against Florida too.
Yeah, pretty sick team too. That's they're just keep getting stronger.
Maybe goal against Vegas tomorrow. I just bury those dudes.
Well, let's talk about what's going on right now. Is like, you know, obviously it is the wild card hunt. I what I really like about what I've seen from the team, and Joey and I have talked about this at length, is that I can tell you guys are in the right headspace. I know, you know, through a lot of the season, you know, we're looking at those, that overtime record, right? The overtime points, we got 11 of those. I think you all figured it out. And I think in the past couple of weeks, I really like the vibe in the locker room. It seems to translate on the ice. Like, we've got to do this. Is that, are we reading this correctly? Have you guys kind of like, I mean, grown through the season? You guys feel like you're in the right headspace and you've got the right mojo going to maybe snag this last wild card spot?
Yeah. I mean, these last games that we're playing here, they're like playoff games. Every game matters. I think we have full belief that we can make the Stanley Cup playoffs there. And now we're just kind of scratching and crawling our way back into that second wild card spot. So it's definitely going to be a fun little stretch here towards the end.
Yeah. Do you all look at the standings? Are you is Hack coming in being like, guys, did you see what Minnesota did last night? They pulled the goalie in overtime to get that extra point, and they jumped ahead of us. Is he like, you know, making sure everybody's aware of what's going on and how competitive this is, or is it more of like just take it game by game, minute by minute?
I mean, everyone kind of keeps track of what's going on around the league. So, I mean, we want to be in that playoff spot enough to know what's going around the league. So you're keeping mental notes. He doesn't have to come to the room and say that kind of stuff. But you kind of know the situation. It doesn't help us that Minnesota did do what they did. They beat them in regulation.
That was nuts, man. That was absolutely disgusting. But like, as a hockey fan, as a Seattle Kraken fan, it stunk. But as a hockey fan, that was pretty awesome to see.
Well, because I actually didn't know about the rule that if they did score, like they got 0 points.
What? Oh, wait, what?
Did you not know that? Like, so when they pull the goalie 3-on-3,
mm-hmm.
And say Nashville went down and scored,
mm-hmm.
4-on-3, Minnesota would have got 0 points.
What? So that's even...
Wait,
that's,
what?
That's how big of a gamble it is?
Yeah, so like that's why it's... I think it's only been done one other time, but like, so when Minnesota pulls their goalie to go 4-on-3 and Nashville goes down and scores... Usually you get that one extra point.
Yeah.
But you would get 0.
Oh my. When are
Holy
they,
shit.
They are in the NHL's like cooking up all these rules in the lab. That's not that just goes to show you how, like, you know, ballsy that was. That's incredible. Yeah. I didn't know
so
that.
That's like that's chips all in then. Like I know, like that rule must have just been sitting there, but no team is ever like really ballsy enough to do it. Minnesota's like, we're doing it, and then it ended up working out.
Yeah, like usually you would do that, I think, like the last three games of the year, like if you really wow. get points. But I mean,
wow, I didn't know that. Well, you got, you know, the Golden Knights, and by the time this interview airs, you know, that game may have already happened, but then you got the Preds around the corner too, and we're, you know, trying to chip away at their lead here too. You know, what do you, and here's the thing about fans that we deal with all the time is like, oh, it's going to be too tough to do this. I mean, teams can start losing, you know, too. And as long as you guys are winning and doing your job, then, you know, it's going to be all right. Like, how are you taking it? How are you handling it? How are you handling this pressure? Are you having a blast? Are you just kind of like, you know, grateful that you got, you know, you're doing your thing, you're playing with the Kraken right now? Like, how are you thinking about it? You're not sweating it?
No, obviously I'm just trying to do what I can to help the team win. And you work so hard for this. You grow up and you're practicing for like moments like these where you can contribute to the team and hopefully make the Stanley Cup playoffs and play for the biggest trophy in the world. So,
yeah,
I mean, these are fun times and you just got to embrace it.
A couple of quick questions about some players. One is I was so pumped when they re-signed Ebbs. And we've heard from like Piper Shaw and some other people we've talked to that he's really just so pivotal in the locker room. He's like the, you know, he's a him or Dunner are DJs in the locker room. Like, how cool was it to know that Ebs was coming back?
Yeah, obviously he's got a big voice in the room. He's been around for a while, and he's definitely key to this team, and to have him back for two more years is huge.
Now, Wenny, I know Wenny went off to the Rangers. Did you have any experience with him? Did you know him well at all? I mean, obviously it stinks to see him go. I want him to do well with the Rangers. You know, loved him as a Seattle Kraken player. Did you know him at all? Did you become friends with him?
I did. Yeah. I got to get to know him a little bit. He's a great guy. He was big for us in all aspects of our game, and sucks to see him go, but one less guy in the soccer Super Bowl circle to.
Are you in the circle? Are you in that circle?
Yeah, I'm in the circle. I'm not good at all, but he's best by far. So it gives everyone else a chance. No,
I love it.
What do you do when you're not playing hockey? Like, I mean, you doing the golf thing? Are you like, what are you into?
In Coachella, I golfed a little bit, but I wouldn't say I'm the biggest golfer. Usually I'm just either hanging out with some of the guys or we like to play Xbox here and there, so we'll do that.
Awesome. Well, dude, I know you got to get going, especially you got to get going to get some dinner tonight with Karts, man. That chicken parm sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it should be good.
I have one more question for you. I have to ask this. I've been thinking about it a lot. Tenney's talks. You, Matt Tennyson, you're like, you know, you're rocking the bathing suit and the snorkel. You're just chilling.
Oh, I mean, my
like,
God.
It Jeez. Blew up. People loved it. Like, it was a great concept. And I'm watching these videos. I'm like, holy shit, man. I'm like, Riker Evans is fucking hilarious. Like, the guy's just hanging out in a pool. They're doing interviews. Like, people are really liking him. I have to ask you, though, how much of that inspiration was drawn from Glennie Balls in Sunday Conversation?
Well, honestly, I didn't even know what was going on. I got told that day, like, what I was doing, like, just to bring trunks. And I guess when I did, like, some of the guys while we were getting interviewed, like, they said, like, this is kind of like a spinoff of Glennie Balls and that. So I did see a couple of videos, and it was kind of like that. So I guess you could say that it was a spinoff of it.
Are we going to get more of those at some point?
I don't know. It'd be tough because Tenney signed over in Switzerland there. So
yeah, he's got broadcasting. Isn't that correct? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. So he was broadcasting a little bit, but now he's playing over in Switzerland.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I have one more question. I'm sorry. I have one more question for you. Your middle name Garth, that like Seattle Kraken fans, like every time like we live cover the games or on Twitter or whatever, we're talking about it. And every time like the fans are behind you, like they freaking love you. But it's always calling you Garth. Has that been people called you by your middle name forever? Is this a Seattle Kraken fandom thing? And also, did that come from your great grandfather's name?
Yeah. So I didn't get called Garth till last year, like midway through the season.
Yeah.
Because Max McCormick found like my airport bag tag and found my name. So he started calling me that, and then.
Oh shit!
And then the media people and Coachella started calling me Garth, and then everyone just started calling me Garth. So that's kind of how that caught on. And yeah, my great grandfather's name.
That's awesome. I have to
set you up. McCormick set you up there.
I mean, party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Right? I mean, you know that one, right?
I do. Yeah. Now I actually just got told that, so that's gonna be probably my Halloween costume next year.
Oh, you have to.
Yes. No, that's a must.
Have you seen Wayne's World? Have you watched the movie?
No, I've never watched the movie, so I'm gonna have to check it out.
I don't know if it's like, you know, look, I'm 44, dude, so like you're half my age, right? I don't know if like those jokes are timeless or if it's just me going back to like, so you gotta let me know. Like you gotta watch it and be like, oh, that was hilarious, or like I don't get any of these references. Or
like, oh, those guys are dumb and they're really old.
Yeah. All right. Well, dude, Riker, man, like it's so awesome to see you grow and develop and be part of this organization, and you're crushing it, and I want to see you full time in a Kraken jersey from here on out. And I feel like, you know, you're really helping to round out this defense, and I've seen how this Kraken team has really matured just in the past couple of months. And I think you guys are going to make it. I think you guys are going to make that last wild card spot. I've been saying that's going to come down to the last game. I know you will make it, but no matter what happens, I'm so happy with where the team's going and the future. And you're part of that, dude. So, you know, on behalf of Joey and myself and Kraken fans, we're excited to have you around.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, right. Rikers. And go enjoy the chicken parm and tell Karts we said what's up. Come back in the pod again sometime.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I'll let him know for sure.
All right, cool. Thank you, Garth. That guy's so chill. Garth is so chill.
Garth is chill as fuck, man. He's a good dude. I did not call him out on this, by the way. I'm 99% sure he was rocking a Blue Jays hat, and I was going to be like, homie, I need to send you some Mariners gear because we gotta switch that up.
Well, he's Canadian. They got like one, no, like I know. Baseball team. You know what I mean?
I know, but I'm like, the fans already love you. You want them to really love you. You start rocking some Mariners teal for us because the Blue Jays, every time the Mariners play the Blue Jays in Seattle, like freaking T-Mobile Park, it's like 70% freaking Blue Jays fans. And I'm like the guy in Happy Gilmore. I'm like, go back to your shanties. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, how the fuck so many people just taking time off work just to drive me crazy. But anyways,
it's the logo, dude. It's like, even here in Louisiana, it's like half the baseball hats you see are Blue Jays hats. So like,
it's like just, Blue Jays and Yankees. Like, holy shit, what's
people,
going on?
It's they're a national team, but I think people don't know that they're in Canada. So like, you're in the United States. You should not like why are you wearing a Blue Jays hat? I don't know. It's just a cool thing to do.
Just be a Mariners fan and be perpetually depressed for decades.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Yeah. What's not to love about that?
Yeah.
But again, thanks to the Seattle Kraken PR team for hooking us up with Riker Evans. And he's just a great dude. Really, really cool to talk to. So
yes,
I'm hoping, and I'm just for his sake, it would just be so awesome if he scores that goal tonight and that good vibes parlay hits and he's part of that win. And we can officially say that the Kraken pod had something to do with it. Oh, by the way, we're
putting that energy out there, Jeff. That's how the universe works. We just manifest. You don't work. You sit around all day on your couch. Mm-hmm. Manifest things in your head and the universe just brings it to you. After we get off this podcast, I'm just gonna sit down on the couch and be like, I want $1 million, and I will sit there until it happens.
Envelope full of cash. That's what I'm looking for. See, in the mailbox.
There you go.
It will happen. That's how positive I am. That's how Jeff Lasso I am. Also too,
I'd say I'm lazy. I'd say I'm manifesting.
I may have to get chicken parm tonight, in honor of the carts and Garth, you know, girlfriend, dinner time. That serves some good vibes too. So we'll see what's up. But anyway,
no, I love it. And now, Riker and Karts are members of the Kraken Pod fam. So we're going to have them back on in the future.
We're checking them off the list, man. We got like 20 something guys to go. So
nice.
No Dumb Questions. This is a good one. Jess asked this a little while ago and I thought this was pretty cool. No Dumb Questions is basically where, if you listen to other podcasts, if you don't know everything about hockey, they laugh at you. They really do. And they're like, haha, you don't know anything about hockey. Who are you? Get out of our podcast listening app. Okay. And they have ways to do that. They can literally press a button and flush you. We won't, because we're idiots and there's no dumb question out there. So ask us the question. We'll help you figure it out. Jess Swanson 12 via X, AKA Twitter.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
How do the refs decide which face-off dot to use? Now, look, this, if you go Google this, you're going to come up, you can look at many different rule books, and there's literal pages and pages of explanations that go with the explanation of face-off dots. It's crazy, right?
I thought the refs just close their eyes and point.
That's exactly what... That's basically
it. I clock it over here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So what I did was I took all of the, like, I copied all the text from one page and I threw it into ChatGPT and I said, yo, because ChatGPT likes yo. And I said, yo, ChatGPT, hook me up with a summary of this page. And it said, hello, hit me with the page, bitch.
Yeah.
And I said, here it is. And this is what ChatGPT kicked out, which I read over once and I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Here we go, Jess. Face-off locations impact the game significantly. Rules vary by zone. Mm-hmm. Center ice face-offs are for period starts after goals, goalie substitutions with conditions, or icing errors.
Or so just icing. If the
refs screw up, no, not just icing. No, if they screw up on icing. They just go, or and anything they say, well, screw it. We made a mistake. We're going to have a center ice face-off.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And that happens. Rule infringements by both teams lead to nearest spot face-offs, except at center ice. Neutral zone stoppages mean nearest spot faceoffs, avoiding the center of the ice. So like basically, if there's a stoppage, and here's what it comes down to, is a puck goes out of play or a goalie stops play, you basically are going to use the faceoff dot that's closest to wherever the stoppage is.
Yeah, that's wherever the puck is at, right? Wherever the play stopped, that's where that's the faceoff circle they're going to use.
Yeah, for the most part, that's the big time rule, is wherever if the puck was on the left side of the ice in the offensive zone and it went out of play, as long as it wasn't from the team on offense, then they're going to have that faceoff right there in the zone, or they may make it be on the left side in the neutral zone type thing, right?
Love it.
So like, here it is. Puck out of play or hitting obstacles stops play, face off nearest to the last touch. Neutral zone faceoffs are near the blue line of the stopping team, the team that, you know, made the stopping effort, affecting territorial advantage. End zone faceoffs depend on the cause and location of play stoppage. So basically, like, did it hit the net? Did it go out? Did the goalie stop it? So that's basically it. So long story short,
yeah.
And there are a whole bunch of like really, like some of these rules get big time expanded. But just to answer your question, really, it comes down to, hey, wherever the puck was stopped for whatever reason, that's typically where they say we're gonna have a faceoff at the closest face-off dot. They do factor in things like, you know, whichever team made the stoppage, they may take it down to the other end of the ice to make sure that they're not getting them an unfair advantage and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's really, really, really tough to explain it all without having one whole podcast episode reading these rules, but that's the gist of it.
I like it. I appreciate that. I thought we had covered that before, but you know what? I don't think we had actually covered, you know, which, you know, face-off circle is how it's determined in the middle of a game. You know what always surprises me at the end of a game, and I know you're dying to hear this, is whenever I go back and look at the stats of a game, because everyone knows I'm stat man. There you go. Thank you. I always am surprised by the number of face-offs during a game. Like, I'll look at the stat at the end and be like, wait, there was 37 of those? Like, it never seems like that much while you're watching it, and then you go back and look at the stats, like, wait, what the hell? For some reason, that number always throws me off.
Yeah, you never really pay attention to how many faceoffs there are unless you go look for it. And the other thing that you don't really pay attention to is, I guess, how many stoppages there are until there's no stoppage for like 8 minutes, and you start to go, this is really weird how the game's just flowing. So like, isn't a stoppage for a long time, that's when you realize, man, there's a lot of stoppages in hockey.
Yes, no, that is absolutely correct. And also, I wonder if, and this is just me being a fucking nerd now, I wonder if sometimes the broadcast will miss the faceoff because they're on a commercial break. When they come back, the boys are already, you know, back to playing.
Sometimes they do. I think it's very like with the TV timeouts. They do. I actually did. I think it was the game that I was listening to last Thursday with the Jets on KJR. Mm-hmm. They actually interrupted a commercial midway because I think whoever was in the, you know, the booth or running the actual technical aspect of the game messed up and went to go to TV timeout commercials, but they were wrong. And they came back and basically apologized. I said, oh, that was supposed to be a scheduled TV timeout, but it wasn't. Just a regular timeout. So they cut the commercial off halfway to go back to the coverage on the ice, which was kind of cool.
Well, that person's fired. Can't do that.
Absolutely. Again. Yes. Yeah. If as a 17-year radio veteran, I was in radio for a very long time, is you automatically get fired for anything like that.
Yeah, and then afterwards they shame you like Cersei in Game of Thrones. Speaking of that, when we get to our three stars,
I do. No, actually, I was gonna say the radio thing is like, if you have a pulse and you will accept, you know, $11 an hour, then you can just basically show up with a needle in your arm and be like, yeah, sure, just push the buttons. It's cool. That's radio for you right there. So
sounds good. 80 hours a week, sold, done.
Absolutely. All right. Three stars of the week. Joey and I talk about things that have happened in our personal lives, and we rank them. So let's get to our three stars of the week. My third star of the week, flag football in the rain last Friday night. Your Buffs, your FNA Mandeville Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.
It was rivalry week. And actually, my buddy Jeff, you know, the guy I see at the soccer and football.
Yeah, Jeff Squared.
Yep. Yep, Jeff Squared. I gave him his mug, and I'm putting this other mug in the mail today to send off to our friend on Twitter that needs a mug. But I gave him a mug, and he was out at this game, rivalry game. His son played on the other team that we've been kind of rivals with for many seasons now. It was torrential downpour, rain here in Mandeville, our neck of the woods, on Friday night. And they said, okay, we're going to play the 5:30 and 6:30 games, which was ours was 6:30. But the rest of the games for the rest of the night, we're going to cancel. So we went out there and it was just like a mist, like a fine mist. Like, this isn't bad. And then at halftime, it came down like sheets of water. And it was so much fun. Like, it was like, that was football. Like, the boys were out there just like soaking wet, dripping wet, having a blast. We ended up shutting out the rivalry team. So take that, Jeff. We beat them, I think, 25-0. To their credit, it would have been a lot closer had there been no rain, because they actually have a pretty decent team. And most of our scores came off of pick sixes. So we just had a really good rush. And although what's funny is, it was towards the end of the game, and one of our players, one of our better players, his name's Caden, it was like his third pick six of the game or second pick six of the game. And yeah. Jeff's son, Nathan, because it was pouring rain, he glitched out and just tackled him.
What?
Yeah, he just and it wasn't like crazy aggressive. Like, he caught him from behind and pulled him down. It wasn't like he tackled him head on.
Sounds like a horse collar tackle, if you ask me.
No, it was textbook, dude. He wrapped him up right in the midsection and pulled him okay. down. Okay. And everybody's like, that was a tackle. And the refs are so like just miserable. They just ignored what we said.
Care, dude. It's fucking pouring rain out here. Just
and we stop. We all started laughing about it. So I saw Jeff at soccer last night and said, dude, your son, Nathan, what was textbook tackle? He's like, I know, dude. So anyway, cheers to Jeff. It. Cheers to flag football. And your Buffs are 3-0, dude. Two shutouts in a row.
Of course they are, because they got prime time.
Let's go
coaching that team. But also, man, yeah, if I'm a ref and I'm coaching like you flag football, someone gets tackled and it's fucking pouring rain, I'm like, yeah, I don't care about any of this.
No, and props to Brad, the coach of the other team. It was 25-0. There's like 3 minutes left. He's like, we're calling it. Game's over.
So guys, everyone's freaking soaking wet here. Can't wait for everyone to get colds.
Yeah, and sure enough, I did. So there you go.
There you go. I know.
What's your third star of the week?
My third star of the week is crosswords. I am now have transitioned into a daily crosswords guy.
Oh.
I do the New York Times crosswords. I am undefeated since this transition, Jeff. I fucking am a crossword master. So that was my third star of the week.
But you've solved every crossword you've done?
Yeah, they've actually been pretty easy so far. So I don't know if settings or something, but I did the New York Times crossword. I've been crushing it every morning. So I wake up and while I have my coffee, I do a little crossword. And it gets my brain going for the digs. I have to think about shit. And I try to beat my own time on it. So I try to do it as fast as I can. I'm at like my fast is like a minute and like 46 seconds.
You already kind of have some salt and pepper hair, man. I mean, like, are you?
Bro, I have so many grays.
Did the AARP? I'm living on a golf course in a golf course community now. You're doing crosswords.
Yeah, oh, dude, we're fucking old. I'm gonna need a wheelchair ramp to access my apartment here in the next year, and I'm already looking for, you know, the handicap spot so I can go to Denny's and get the older people special.
Hell yeah. I'm bitching about the economy. Slam. Oh God. Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know what? Podcasters these days are not like, you know, like not like they were back in the day. I mean, I'm just telling you, you know, 30 years ago, podcasters were just garbage. And today, we're really good. And like today, they're just a bunch of garbage. So I think we should have a podcast where we just complain about everything.
Yeah, I agree. We should just talk about things we see on the internet and then just complain. We could call the podcast Old Man Yelling at Clouds.
Yeah.
And then just the podcast, the profile or whatever, the main photo is just a photo of the grandpa from The Simpsons shaking his fist. And it's just us yelling at things.
I think that's fair.
It's actually a pretty smart branding idea.
It is. I like that. I like that. I actually seriously do think we're probably I think yesterday there was a stat that the Kraken are like the fourth oldest team, average oldest team in the league.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
28.
29. The oldest team in the league, I think, is Edmonton. We
31.
We are easily, on average, the oldest Kraken podcasting duo in the Kraken podcasting
world. Dude, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were interviewing Ty Cartier, there was at one point where you were talking about like stuff like hockey back in the day, and you were like, oh yeah, then Bob, like when these games used to happen with these guys, and then you're like, oh yeah, like you grew up watching that, and he was like, no, like he was like, wasn't born.
I'm 20.
Yeah, 20, Riker yeah. Evans was born in, I think it was 2001. That's so yeah, right. put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That's not right. All right, my second star is Game of Thrones. I'm going through and cherry picking different episodes. I think season 5 is the best season of Game of Thrones. I just wanted to go. I was like, man, there's some episodes of Game of Thrones that are just badass. I wanted to go watch them. Yeah. And like so much shit, epic shit happened in season 5. That's the season with Jon Snow, you know, coming back to life. That's the season with that, you know, them. I think I talked about it last pod, and the whole Night King showing his shit by raising the whole, you know, wildling back from the dead. It was, I think the very next episode was the episode where Stannis kills his daughter, the princess, because the Red Woman's like, do it, just win the war. And he's like, yeah, whatever, let's do that.
Dude, Red Woman would be like, I'm really old, just kidding, super hot. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, that scene was in season 5. Like, yeah. The whole, like, oh my gosh, wait a second, look at this. Yeah. And then, whoa. Yeah, and then threw the whole curveball on you and you saw that. And then, wait, there was one other epic part about that I missed him on the game. Season 5 is just awesome. The Cersei shame. The shame.
Yeah, the shaming. Yeah. Walking like barefoot and freaking, I mean, naked through the streets as they just shame the shit.
I mean, pretty solid.
Like,
a lot of,
she's like, you all enjoy this now, because in a couple seasons, I'm going to blow up some like wine barrels and make everybody fucking incinerated.
Arya Stark, like I dig the whole like you know, God with many faces. I like that.
Yeah, that was a fun like little side thing that she had going.
Yep, she's like killing people. Faces. She's turning into the assassin that she grows up to be. Anyway, Game of Thrones, rewatching that. Why start new shit? Why expand my, you know, horizons? Why adventure in the new territories? I'm just gonna watch the same old shit and I'm gonna love it.
I've actually considered rewatching Game of Thrones. Did you go like full psycho mode? Did your first episode that you decided to cherry pick, it should have been like the Red Wedding episode?
Yeah.
That is an right. all-time episode / just moment in television history. So I remember watching it for the very first time and just being like, oh my God. Because at the time I didn't think that television, even like an HBO series, could go to that level, right? I was just like, I can't believe that you can do something like this in a show. This is fucking bananas.
Oh yeah, bananas. Just brutal. Just a brutal.
Yeah.
You forget how brutal that show was, and just like, oh hey, this, oh yeah, guy's getting his head lopped off. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Also too, Zombie Mountain, zombie like Gregor comes back.
Yes, just, yes, yes.
Like he's just like, Cersei comes in from her walk of shame, and the Meister, whatever his name is, like, you're back, Queen. Oh, by the way, here's my creation. It's the mountain. Gregor's here, and he's like a zombie. He just like picks her up and like takes her to like, you know, go, you know, get bathed or whatever. And she like looks at the camera like, oh, we're gonna fucking kill all these people. It's gonna be awesome.
The mountain kills Pedro Pascal in an epic battle because he gets all cocky.
Yeah, that was he got his eyes got smashed in, right?
Yeah, dude, he like gouged his eyes out. Speaking of watching something new, my second star of the week, and it was borderline first star. My second star of the week is Dune 2. Holy shit. Not only is this, I'm not being hyperbolic here. It legitimately, I think, is the best theater, like the best theater experience of a movie I've ever had in my entire life. Dune 2 was so fucking incredible. The visuals, the score, everything. I mean, I walked out of that movie feeling like I had been fucking injected and was just high for 3 hours, just so overly stimulated with a beautiful movie. And just, I won't give any spoilers away, but I will say that this is a movie that you go to the movies for. And I've been telling people this. I actually talked my best friend and his wife into going and seeing it. And they haven't been to like the movie theaters in years. And I was like, you guys, you need to go. If you wait until it is streaming, you're going to watch it and then be like, I made a severe fucking mistake. Like Dune 2 It has to be experienced in the theaters. I'm actually going to go see it again in the theaters. Like, I need to experience this again.
That's awesome.
It is that incredible of a, like, it legitimately like was a spectacle. I walked out just being like, I can't believe. It was worth the wait. I had rewatched the first one. It's on HBO Max. You can go watch it there. I rewatched it, and it truly is a part two, because Dune 2 picks up literally where the first movie left off. It's not a sequel or anything like that. It's like, okay, this is the story continued. The two movies combined equal the book, and it's like 6 hours worth of film. But anyways, see Dune 2, see it in theaters. If you have an option to see it in IMAX, do that. But I'm telling you, I'm so blown away. I think it's going to win every freaking award next year. And it is just, I thought Top Gun Maverick was like a movie theater experience. This makes Top Gun Maverick look like I went to the movies and watched people play fucking Connect Four for 2 hours. I mean, really? Like, it was incredible. Like, it just unbelievable.
Oh, I'm going to watch Dune.
My whole personality is now Dune. I've changed my last name. My name is Joey Atreides, for those that do not know. And my entire personality is Dune. So that's where I'm at in life.
He's actually done this whole podcast with one of those blue little breathing apparatus things in his mouth.
Yeah. And I've been eating out of that weird popcorn bucket that looks like a sandworm's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to move on.
Yeah.
My number one star of the week, just going to say spring forward. And yesterday, if you had asked me, I would have said this is absolute worst star of the week. It really crushed us yesterday morning. We didn't wake up till 7:30. By the way, school starts at 7:30. So we didn't wake up till 7:30, and it sucked. But we got the kids to school, and it was tired all day. But then last night went to bed really early, hella early, and woke up today. And right, even with a little bit of a cold, feel pretty awesome. And that sunset last night at 7:30.
Dude.
Oh, man. Especially, not trying to rub this in to anybody who's not in the South, where it's 72 degrees right now. But 72 degrees, the sun setting, clear skies, just like, yeah, that's spring forward, bitch. That's awesome. Yeah. Love it. So I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. Spring forward.
Spring forward. I love it. I'm into it. My first star of the week, and I'm sure you can talk about this as well. And I won't give up too much or anything, regarding the interview. My first star of the week is just Garth. So shout out to Riker, Garth Evans. An absolute beauty. We both like appreciate his time. The Kraken right now, I mean, it's, you know, they're in the thick of it right now. And they don't have a ton of time off, because even on their days off, there's morning skates, there's workouts, there's all sorts of shit. And for him to graciously join us live from his hotel room, and give us some time, really meant a lot. So shout out to Garth. It's fucking awesome. He's now a member of the Kraken Pod fam, him and Karts. So they're going to have to, you know, come back onto the podcast. And also just shout out to Lindsay. Lindsay is, the Seattle Kraken PR badass, and working closely with her while she has 8 million things going on and was able to set this up. So, shout out to Lindsay for setting all that up, and shout out to Garth for giving us some of his time and just being a good dude all around.
Yep. Awesome, dude. Really fun interview. Pumped to talk to him. Thankful to Kraken PR, everything you said and more. Hopefully we get some more players. Yeah. We should get Karts and Garth.
Yes.
On the pod together at some point. And look, even if they don't give it, if like, hey, that's all you're going to get, if you're only going to get those two guys, I'll say, let's do it. Let's do that every week. Let's get it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Well, like, we'll have like the Karts corner.
That's right. I think we should start selling, Karts and Garth chicken parm dishes. You know, there's something to it. So
I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, great, great week. Kraken are in gut check time. It's time to win. Riker Evans gets his first goal as an NHL player tonight. It's going to happen. We're going to beat those Golden Knights, and then we're going to move on to having a 3-game win streak, beating the Caps, beating Nashville. And right, we do that, we're right there, like in the thick of the wild card hunt. So let's do it.
I'm into it. That's
good. You better be. You Dune son of a bitch. All right. Have an awesome week. Let's go, Kraken. We're going to leave you with our Seattle Kraken Chirp of the Week, or I'm sorry, Kraken Pod. Seattle Kraken do not support the Chirp of the Week in any way that we know of.
They do not.
This is a Kraken Pod thing. Please keep giving us players. Thank you, Seattle Kraken. Here is your Kraken Pod Chirp of the Week.
Jordan, congrats on the new contract. How's it feel just knowing that that's done and taken care of?
Yeah, it's a relief. Obviously, I mentioned quite a bit that I wanted to be here. My family loves it here. And more than anything, just kind of happy that it's over with. We get back to, you know, what we're doing and get back to trying to win some games and put ourselves in position to get in.